Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
He's covering it for USA Today, doing a great job. He's Mike Jones joining us here on Afternoon Drive. Mike, thanks for the time, buddy.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, now I see where you're out of Delaware. So is this, fortunately for you, is this like right down the road? Can you walk to the hearing? Is that doable for you?
No, not close to there. And also, the exact location of it is a secret. Believe me, I tried. Because I said, Judge Robinson's from Delaware. I'm from a different part of Delaware. I'm down south of Delaware. I think she's further up north. But had no luck finding out exactly where the location is. They're keeping it under lock and key, so
wow.
I am not there.
Wow, that's good stuff. All right, Mike Jones joining us. All right, so I was saying earlier in the show that, and when I found out you were coming on, I basically said this is really perfect timing, because I think right now so many of us, whether in the media, just average Joe fan, we really don't have any idea, it seems like, what this process is all about. Like, at first it was, well, if Sue Robinson rules this way, then Roger Goodell can do this. Or, but if it's no punishment, then he can't do it. So can you lay out for us a refresher course? Because I think even some that are in the know or are reporting on this are actually reporting with incorrect information. Lay it out for us how this thing actually can play out and should play out with Sue Robinson and Roger Goodell.
Yeah, it's an interesting and kind of complex process. Basically, the stage that they're at right now, having completed its year-long investigation, the NFL made its recommendation to Sue Robinson, who is a retired federal judge. She is appointed to be the disciplinary officer who will review all the evidence that the NFL and their lawyers are presenting, and she will also review the arguments from Deshaun Watson and his camp and the NFL Players Association, which is arguing on his behalf. And then she, in this hearing, she can ask some questions, she can have people come for more questioning, follow-ups and things like that. Then she makes her determination. She doesn't have to listen to the NFL's recommendation, which is that it be an indefinite suspension, no shorter than a year, or she could listen to Deshaun Watson's camp, which says that he should not be punished. And then she will make up her mind and hand down the decision. We're not sure exactly how long it's going to take for this hearing to be completed and how soon after that she will make her decision. But then, say the side that doesn't get what they want, say that she does uphold, follow the NFL's recommendation and it is a year-long suspension, Deshaun Watson and the NFL Players Association are allowed to appeal. But where it gets tricky is the person who listens to their appeal and makes the decision is Roger Goodell, who is the commissioner of the NFL. So if the NFL wants him to have a year-long suspension and he appeals trying to get it changed, it would not seem that he would have a whole lot of luck in changing that. Or say that she says, you know what, he does not need to have a year-long suspension. It's a two-game suspension or nothing at all, and the NFL doesn't like it, they can appeal, and Roger Goodell or someone of his choosing would hear the appeal and make the decision. So the NFL definitely has the edge in this in getting what it wants. So we'll see how that plays out. Again, they are hoping that all of this is resolved before the end of July when training camp starts, but there is no sure bet, no exact timeline for any of it.
Would it be a bad look if the NFL basically overruled Sue Robinson in a situation like this, especially since she's a woman, she's hearing this case from Watson, of course. Do you think it would be a good look if they overturned what she her recommendation?
I think it would kind of be a bad look because the thing is they put this new process in place in 2020 when they agreed to the latest CBA because Roger Goodell was getting a lot of criticism that he was the judge, jury, and executioner. And so then they put this system in place where they have an independent, person who is paid partially by the league and partially by the NFL Players Association. So that way she is supposed to be as impartial as possible. If you go ahead then and overrule her, then it's kind of like, well, what was the point of having this process in the first place? So that's why the NFL has to be careful there and how they proceed based on what her decision is.
Mike Jones, USA Today, joining us here, Afternoon Drive, Chico Dustin on 92.3 The Fan. So, Mike, one thing that we've heard a lot from the players' side, and they brought up that new CBA that goes back to 2020 about, hey, the owners and, executives and all that should be held to a higher standard. We all kind of chuckle at that because I don't even know if they're held to the same standard. And it's so ironic that this is going on right now in Delaware. And to the best of my knowledge, I haven't heard an update, but Daniel Snyder's saying, you know what? I'm not going to go. Congress, I'm not going to accept that subpoena. It sounds great to say, like, oh, this is going to be a big part of Jeffrey Kessler's case, and maybe it will be. But do you think the league will, take that seriously? Do you think Sue Robinson takes it seriously? Or is it just one of those things where we're going to put it out there, we want everybody to know that we take it seriously behind closed doors? Forget about it. What's your honest opinion on that?
Yeah, that's definitely exactly what the NFL Players Association is going to argue. They're going to point to how Robert Kraft didn't have any discipline from the league after the incident with the massage parlor favors that he was trying to secure. Didn't do anything to Jerry Jones when he had the settlement for a woman who accused him. And then they only fined the Washington Football Club $10 million and let Dan Snyder say that he was stepping away from day-to-day operations, even though his wife was running the team. And so they are going to argue that, hey, you were really lenient with the owners. If you give him this kind of suspension, it's very hypocritical. Now, the NFL obviously does not agree with that, and that's why they have recommended this year-long suspension. But Sue Robinson, maybe because she is not an owner, because the NFL, Roger Goodell works for the 32 owners. Maybe Sue Robinson would look at this differently. And so that's why some people really feel like it's not going to be a year-long thing, that maybe she would hand down something more moderate. But again, that's speculation, and nobody really knows for sure. It really depends on how damaging this evidence that they share and that they reveal in these hearings and how that sways her.
Do you think the Browns were prepared for a year-long suspension?
I do think they were, just because of the fact that when you look at the way his contract, so they gave him a $230 million five-year contract, record-breaking deal, right? But they structured it so the very first year, it's only a base salary of $1 million. That's it. And then the money jumps in years 2, 3, 4, and 5. So it was almost like they were bracing and helping him out, saying, we won't make it so you lose a ton of money in year one just in case you're suspended for a year. We'll structure this so that it's an easy thing for you. It's not going to hurt you very much in the pocketbook, and then we'll roll from there. Now, we'll see, as far as on the field go, are they prepared to not have him? They just have Jacoby Brissett as their backup. Baker Mayfield still on their roster, but looks like he and the team both are resigned to the fact that that's not going to happen. But it does seem like the Browns knew, hey, worst case scenario, we lose you for a year, and then we get back to business next year.
Mike Jones, USA Today, joining us on the hotline. So I feel like, again, this is such a big event, and now that we're actually moving forward with something, now the hearing, it's time to, okay, let's refresh everybody on the characters involved. And we know about Busby. We know about Rusty Harden. Obviously, we know Deshaun Watson and Sue Robinson. Tell us about Jeffrey Kessler, who's going to bat for Deshaun Watson and has gone to bat for some other high-profile athletes.
Right. He is with the NFL Players Association. Their lawyers are arguing against the NFL's lawyers. They are the ones who are their job because they know what the NFL is arguing. They had to submit what their evidence was going to be. And so he and his team look in, and I was told the NFL had five pieces of evidence. They had five different cases that they were using as examples, five from the 24 lawsuits against him. And so Kessler and his team will argue saying, look, here is why this guy does not deserve another suspension. He also already didn't play last year. He lost a bunch of endorsement deals. And, he is also has settled with all these people, so he's paid a financial price. And so that's why he deserves to be back on the field. They will basically try to poke holes in everything the NFL is saying, while the NFL's lawyers basically will try to, convince the judge or the disciplinary officer, Sue Robinson, of why the NFL Players Association and Kessler are wrong and that Watson does deserve additional punishment.
Mike, we've been talking about the Baker Mayfield side of this, here in Cleveland and what the Browns do with him. I still think it makes sense to play him if Watson suspended a year. If it's less than that, I wouldn't even consider it. But where do you think the Browns are at with this, and what are you hearing?
That he has no desire to play here, play in Cleveland for the Browns anymore. And he is not of the mind to do the Browns a favor. Basically, if he says, okay, I'll play, he's doing them a favor, helping them out of a tough spot. But basically, they had said, hey, you're not good enough. We're going to go get a guy with a soiled reputation and give him a record-breaking deal because we don't want you anymore, even though you led us to the playoffs, got a playoff win. You're just not good enough. So he is a guy that's got a chip on his shoulder anyway. He is not of the mind to want to play here, and I think that management knows that, and they are ready to move on as well. Now, the problem is that everybody in the league knows that the Browns have no leverage here, and so they don't want to give up a whole lot to get them, but they also want the Browns to agree to take on half of his salary. His contract for this year is $18 million, and so the Browns are in negotiations with teams, and I know that in their talks there's been mentions that maybe they would be willing to eat about half of that salary, but they want more than just a fifth or a sixth round pick in return. They want some decent draft picks. What I've been told, the Carolina Panthers and the Seattle Seahawks are the teams that seem most likely. But right now, the Seahawks really are hoping and waiting to see if maybe the Browns get frustrated and cut him. Told that's not going to happen, though. And so I think that it might wind up being Carolina that ultimately gets a deal done closer to the start of training camp.
A few more minutes with Mike Jones from USA Today. Follow him on Twitter, by the way, @ByMikeJones. So one of the things that we heard about very early on, and I think it's kind of, hasn't been talked about a whole lot lately, but I'm curious your thoughts, is the owners and the pressure, because obviously, look, the owners were very upset. Some of them were very animated about it, like upset with Jimmy Haslam. How can you guarantee, first of all, $230 million, but then right on top of it to a guy. Do you think that that's still that pressure, like as far as like maybe Roger Goodell? I know in a perfect world, no, that's not going to weigh in. But do you think, honestly, that pressure from outside sources, other owners, is something that could possibly play into this?
I think more than anything, the NFL has had a bad image when it comes to, treatment against women, mistreatment. It seems like, people have criticized them saying they give players a slap on the wrist when there's domestic abuse and things like that, and guys are back playing, sooner than people believe they should. So the NFL feels pressure, and that's why they want to send a strong message, and that's why they've said this indefinite suspension of at least a year, because they don't want this to look like something. If you remember with Ray Rice back in, I think it was 2014, originally, after it was caught on camera, he knocked out his wife in that elevator. He had a 2-game suspension, and there was a big outcry. And so then Roger Goodell changed it to an indefinite suspension because of the outlash, the backlash. And then Ray Rice took them to court, and the judge ruled that indefinite wasn't right. And so he was reinstated after 6 games, even though no team signed him. So the NFL knows that they cannot come off as soft and unsympathetic to this here. And so that's why they're trying to go strong with this. Now, will it happen? I don't know. But I think that more than anything is what's putting pressure on the NFL. Now, you're exactly right. The other owners are not happy with this big deal, especially, you know, team guys like Steve Bisciotti in Baltimore, who's trying to get a deal done with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's like, look, I've never been in trouble. I've been a model citizen. So the floor for my negotiations is $230 million if this guy who's in trouble is coming to a team and getting that much. So that's where the owners are frustrated more than anything.
Final thing for you, Mike. I don't want to put you in the prediction business and say, like, what do you think he's going to get? I guess what I want to know more than anything else, at least right now, you said earlier in the interview that, hey, you know, she wants to have a decision. Everybody wants to have a decision, certainly before training camp. I think there's even some folks here that thought, well, we get to the end of the week and at least there will be something handed down and then maybe, you know, the appeal can start. But just from covering it from yesterday to today, does it get the feel for you that this is something that could linger and maybe on into next week? What do you think?
I do think that there's still a good chance that this hearing could be done by the end of the week. There were people who were thinking that, okay, you know, by July 4th, this process, this stage of the process could be wrapped up, and then the appeal would take place after that. So I haven't heard anything to suggest that it won't. Again, we don't know what's going on in there. They're keeping it pretty tight. So I still think it's possible that it's by the end of the week before when Judge Robinson hands down her decision, and then maybe the week after that, when the NFL, you know, would rule if there was an appeal.
Mike, enjoyed the conversation, buddy. Keep up the great work, and hope to talk to you real soon. Thank you.
Thanks. You have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.